Can everyone hear me? This on? Awesome. Yes, we're just going to open with a word of prayer. Lord, we come before you. We thank you for the small day you've given us today, Father, where we can come and gather together. Lord, I just pray that our hearts will be open to your word, that we would hear and listen and follow. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
For those of you who don't know me, my name is Kirk. This summer, I had the opportunity to go to Bible camp and lead. I was about average age, 17. That's like our average age. We had a couple people over, a couple people under. But it was fun. As a really young staff, we kind of pushed into a mentoring role, and we had like a week before kind of to prepare. They took us to leader training. So basically, it was just a week where we played games and learned about God. And we just kind of grew a little bit in our faith and as a group, as a whole. And that was really cool. So I want to start off by talking to you guys about a weekend. We had a weekend, we had a staff outing. So a lot more people were actually staying at camp that weekend. Other ear? Oh, yeah, for sure. Oh, that's better. I can hear it. Yeah, that's good. Awesome. Bend it. Okay. Oh, so that's how that works. That good? Awesome. Okay. Close enough. Yeah. Yeah. I have the same problem with earphones, except those blow all the time. Sucks. Okay. Anyway, it does. So we're all here at camp, and one of the ladies there, so there was me, my friend Derek, another leader, Noah, our first aid attendant. So me, 17, Derek's 18, Noah, 17, and then there was actually a family there, a group, the Roos family. So there was Jeff and Leslie, their husband and wife, two of their daughters, Emma and Katie, in that order, oldest to youngest, and Jacoba, their youngest daughter. She wasn't a leader. She's too young to lead. She was actually at a couple of the camps. So Leslie says to us, it's like, I will buy you guys sushi if you do work for me. And we're like, free food? Yeah, okay, we'll like fold laundry for an hour. Like, it's not that bad. So we get in the car, and she's like, oh, I want to show you guys this song. I don't know how many of you guys have seen the movie Courageous. Some of you? Yeah. Anyway, there's this song, Courageous. It's by Casting Crowns. And it talks about how men, but more specifically Christians, should act in the world and with their families. And she says to us, if you guys live your life by this song, you're not going to have a problem. It's like, okay, cool, so we listen to the song. So that was cool. So not only we were mentors, we had mentors as well, which was really cool being in that environment. And like, if you talk about spiritual warfare, like if you see my shirt, it says, I am unashamed. And we as Christians should be unashamed as the gospel. And this summer I served on the front lines with my brothers and sisters as we waged war against the enemy and his forces. Like, and see, this represents the church, okay? Can all you see that? It's like a foam rabbit. Okay, so if we take this, we as the church should be in the church. But not just like, we as the people are the church, so we should be out in the congregation, we should be helping one another, and if we are there, then we're doing what God has called us to do. But if we, by some chance, aren't there, then we are not doing what God has called us to do. We need to move as we are called. So, if you would turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, 1 to 6. Awesome. So Ephesians 4, 1 to 6 says, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So like I said, I went to camp this summer, and it was definitely the coolest experience I've ever had. I had the chance to meet a bunch of awesome believers with amazing gifts. But do you guys know what the best part was? They were all humble. You know, I see so many Christians walk around and they act proud. We, as believers, act proud. Because, guys, I want to make sure you understand this. I'm in this just like the rest of you. Okay, we are all, as a collective, believers, and we act, and how we act is how we reflect God, and that's how people see him. So we act proud, as if by some means we have accomplished something. We need to realize is that everything comes from God, and he can take it away at any point in time. You know, we sing that one song, he gives and he takes away. But we as believers become so prideful that when God says enough and actually takes something away from us, we get angry at God as if we have a right to. In that moment, instead of getting angry at God, we should realize what God is trying to do and be humbled by him. I mean, of course we should be humble in the first place, though. So I love that about the people at camp. Actually, one of my friends, like Derek, I was telling you about him, he's like great with kids, great with getting up in front of people and doing actions. But the thing was, he was kind of timid about it, and he was really humble. It's not like he got up there and went, hey, I'm the best at this, or I always wanted to be up here. But there's times when people are like, dude, no one's doing actions. Get up there. It's like, God just uses them that way. It's really cool. Okay. With long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. Not everything at camp was easy. Sometimes it was just a hard week, and we may not have understood what God was trying to do. But we were able to talk to each other and pray for each other and go through the difficulties together. Not separately, but together. We joined together and we'd pray for each other. There was a sense of community and of family. I mean, I was able to open up and tell people things that a lot of people here might not know about me. So it was cool. I mean, we're supposed to be one body. And that is like, and that's what it felt like at camp. A body should know what is going on in the body at all times. I mean, something happens, like, for example, you get frostbite, your body's going to push more blood to that part of the body to keep it warm. Yes, but you see, I feel so often that a bond of family, the ability to hold one another accountable, to be able to open up to each other, is no longer there in the church. Now let it be clear that the church is the people, not the building. So the part of the church at camp was doing what we are supposed to. But the church too often, even like in this town, is not. Let's skip down to chapter 5, verses 1 to 7. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. If you look at this, we are supposed to be imitators of God and put aside evil. And if you think that you're fooling God by just showing up on Sunday and acting differently every other day of the week, you're wrong. If anyone has an issue with that, you should reread Ephesians chapters 4 and chapter 5 and think about how we are supposed to act and imitate God. See, at camp, like I was saying, we had a really young staff. And the way they talked at camp was different from the way they talked at home. You could tell because everyone had what they call a camp filter. And I feel that we have a church filter. You see, we act one way on Sunday and another way the rest of the week. The reason I believe this is because all we hear is love and grace. No one really ever talks about God's wrath or his justice, which are very important parts of who God is. Like, what about punishment for your sins? Like, how often is that really talked about among us as believers? Paul said that even though we are forgiven for our sins, it is not acceptable to keep running back to what God has freed us from. We are supposed to be imitators of God, and if we don't act like him, then how does the rest of the world see us? As a bunch of hypocrites. And who wants to be associated with a bunch of hypocrites? Yes, we are human, and yes, we will sin. We are called to act as Jesus did, and Jesus did not sin. So once we sin, we need to not go running back to the sin we committed. And yet we do this so often. Like, if we think about this, we just keep running back again and again. We do this, and everyone will tell you, God loves you, and he will forgive you. It's very important that you know this is true. But God will also hold you accountable and will judge you for your sins. So many people I hear say, don't judge me. And it's not my job to judge you. As our brother KB says, just for those of you who don't know, he's a rapper, a believer in Christ, strong in his faith. He says, I am not a judge, I communicate what the judge said. Let's take a look at Revelations chapter 19, 11 to 21. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a white robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great. And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the rest were killed with the sword, which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. God loved those people, yet he still judged them because they stood against him. God loves us, but that does not mean that he will not hold us accountable, as is shown in the word. But rejoice, for God has given us the ability to fight. 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 11 says, so the king of Israel answered and said, tell him, let not the one who puts on his armor boast like the one who takes it off. The enemy wants to feel ashamed and alone when we sin, boasting like he has won. But Romans 1:16. Sorry, I got to flip there. Says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. And verse 17 says, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." He, Jesus, died and rose on the third day so that we don't have to carry shame, but so that we can ask for forgiveness. Pick up the cross, pick up our cross, and keep moving. The shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, the belt of truth, the helmet of salvation, and the shoes of the gospel. This is the armor of God. Yet if we discard even one piece of armor, we will fall. But another thing we are called to do as believers is fellowship. Fellowship is very important because the armor of God, yes, it is important. Yes, we can defend ourselves. But without fellowship, we cannot be with each other and learn from each other. For example, mentorship. As a young man, that's very important to me personally, but it's also important to everyone. Mostly for the reasons we can learn from people that have gone before us. For example, people who have fallen into sin before can teach the younger generation how to defend themselves against this. Hebrews 10, verse 25 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." If we take a look at fellowship, it's more than just Sunday mornings, more than just Bible study. See, when I was at camp, I hung out with my brothers and sisters over the breaks between camps. I say breaks because it wasn't always weekends. Sometimes it's like you get a Tuesday off. All depends on how long the camp was. See, I don't see this happening here, though. It's either you meet at the chapel or not at all. I say chapel because I want to stress this again. The church is the people. My brothers and sisters, we need to hold each other accountable. We need to meet together outside this building just to chill and be around other believers. And most of all, we need to show love and speak a convicting message of love and grace, but also wrath and justice. What I have read to you today is very clear on how we as Christians are to live. Let us stand as witnesses for Christ and not be fake or lukewarm, but strong and united in Christ Jesus. Okay? So I'm going to close in prayer. I actually have a song I want to show you guys. There you go. Thanks. So we're going to close in prayer. That could set up. Lord, we come before you. We thank you again for this day, Lord, where we as believers gather together, Lord, and fellowship with one another, Lord, and just come to learn more about you and worship you, Lord. We thank you for your word, that you have given it to us, that we are blessed with it, and that we live in a country, Lord, where we can praise and worship you, where we don't have to fear death and torture or forms of persecution. Lord, I pray for our brothers and sisters right now who do face that, Lord. In areas of the world, Father, I pray that you give them strength, that you keep them safe, that your word is also spread. I pray that you make them strong. I pray that you make us strong. Lord, as we leave here today, and Lord, even as we're here and we fight on the front lines, Lord, every day, for you and your church, you make us strong and unafraid. And we thank you and ask you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen.